There we go. That's a good track. There's a little Christmas cheer. Ella, if you haven't been paying attention, because I went on a rant maybe three nights ago about This Christmas. That's my track. Donny Hathaway, I think, is This Christmas. I'm going crazy. She's writing it down now. Come on. That's my go-to. That's my jam. All right, welcome back to The Download here on WGN. Justin Kaufman in studio with me to shepherd in the 10 o'clock hour. Shepherd out. Is Chris Jones, chief theater critic for the Chicago Tribune. No shows tonight?
No show. It's Christmas. But, you know, for you, here I am. But, you know, I see at my desk there's actually a bottle of Beaujolais.
Here. That's right. That's for you.
You want to hear this, listeners. Listen to that chink.
That's right. That's my pay to you.
So that has been very nice.
I learned that from when I was a producer, I learned from a host of mine. He gave me a bottle of wine once, and he was like, hey, good work this month.
Well, I know.
And I was like, oh, man, this is what you're supposed to do?
I always think Tribune Company has done very well on that philosophy.
Yeah.
Give a bottle of wine.
Yeah, no
they
bonus.
Don't worry about yeah, the money right. or anything Someone, else.
Yeah, right. That's essentially what we're
good
doing
good old
here.
Mother Tribune.
So let's talk theater. I mean, it's you know, you guys are doing all the yes. the Chicagoans of the year.
Best of the year.
Best of the years that's coming up here.
Yeah, best of the year.
But, you know, the one story this week, and it's been a new – we were just talking about early in the hour just about how newsy this week is for Chicago. Usually
yes.
you shut it down for Christmas.
Right.
But the big story in the arts and culture world, the end of Red Moon Theater.
That was a shocker to me. I got a wind of it about Thursday or Friday of last week. It became pretty clear that they were in serious debt. And one of those famous anonymous sources sent me a note saying, you know, by the way, they haven't paid rent in several months. People aren't taking a salary. Things are really grim. And so at that point, I thought, okay, this is not going to be so great. But I thought that there was a possibility somebody would come in with a lot of money, happened before, and rescue the company and they restructure in some way. But in fact, that didn't happen. And the board decided, I think, you know, as a consequence of a lot of debt, you really have to dissolve the organization to get the sort of bankruptcy protection
right,
for
right.
creditors. So that was sort of what they decided. And here was this company that I've watched for over 20 years just gone.
And it's an amazing company.
I mean,
it's spectacle theater. It's,
yes.
it's the kind of stuff where they put on parades,
yes.
big shows, and they were a big part of the neighborhoods here in Chicago for a long time.
So their model, as you know, Justin, was basically you make the money from the rich and you do free shows for the people who are not rich, for the rest of us, right? And they had a thing where they would do these birthday parties for people like Sam Zell, if I may utter that name. And and they had these mechanical things where this lady would come around and deliver hors d'oeuvres or wine or something like that at these parties. And they got a bit of a reputation for being, you know, a bit of 1%-y in that regard. But in fact, what they were doing was trying to make money from that in order to do free theater in the neighborhoods. And they brought theater to parts of Chicago that nobody else went to. And, you know, was every show perfect? No. Are there things they should have done differently? I think they would acknowledge, yes. But they were always cool. I remember in the I don't know if you've been around Chicago a while, you probably remember the Halloween spectacle
yes,
in Logan Square.
Yep.
When, you know, pre-gentrification Logan Square.
Pre-cocktail bar.
Logan Square. When every cool little yuppie parent and their little kid was at this Halloween thing, and everybody felt really cool. And I think it was one of the defining, I'm not exaggerating. I think that Halloween festival was one of the things that made Chicago, Chicago in that city. It was that fabric. It was right when Bucktown and Wicker Park was mm-hmm. beginning to start. And it was a crucial thing that, and a lot of their pageants too. And they also created a family-friendly atmosphere where you would see these little hipster, you know, they'd be listening to Coldplay in the car, and then they'd get there with their kid. And I remember sitting across watching these moms singing. And everyone was happy. And they had these sort of grungy – no, that's the wrong word. They had these sort of, you know, not very understanding older grandparents who would come to Red Moon, and they'd be like, where are we? And they'd be like, no, it's cool. The parents would be like, it's so cool. And they'd be like a little hipster kid playing with some arty actor. It was a kind of a nirvana,
yeah.
Justin.
It was nirvana. I do believe that, I mean, there's one thing about the company which I always loved was the ability to when we talk about creativity in the arts, you know, there's always limits to it, especially when we see in Chicago theater. Creativity means, oh, we're going to change the stage. We might move it to the left.
Yes.
We might put some chairs on the stage. These guys were going outside of, they were doing a lot of environmental work.
Yes.
They were doing pageants and parades. They did things that were really in a European spirit that yes. Chicago hadn't seen,
exactly.
at least in the contemporary world.
And an enormously diverse range of locales. As I sit here in the beautiful Showcase studio, I look out at where the Fyre Festival was. And then, you know, up the street here, they did an amazing show, actually, outside the MCA with Tony Fitzpatrick was involved in that. That was a very memorable show, too. And then they also did stuff in, you know, down in Chinatown and all over the city. But I always think Chicago is a bit cynical. I've been writing about this the last couple of weeks. Chicago is a bit cynical about public art.
Yeah.
You know, there's always some columnist going, well, what are they doing?
We talked about it. We had Lee Bayon talking about when Picasso came, yes. they wanted to make it Ernie Banks.
Yeah.
You know, like there's not a – there. And what are they going to do when you have this progressive architecture with the Obama Library?
Exactly.
But it's the same concept here where you're saying that maybe Chicago – had a little bit of arm's length on that kind of work?
Well, I think, you know, I was writing about the cancellation
puppets,
of
yeah.
these big puppets that were coming, right? The giants. And everyone was like, what, the giant? Even in at the Tribune, people were like, what, really? And I was like, no. So I got the Liverpool Echo from Liverpool, England. It ran at like a 16-page special edition that sold out all over the city. Millions of people went to Liverpool to see them. People were absolutely intoxicated by these great puppets that marauded around the streets. But, you know, it's hard to see it here, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just part of what this city, or everybody who works in culture here comes to terms with this aspect of the city. It's that love-hate kind of, it's very hospitable to culture, and yet it's not. And that paradox, you know, writers in Chicago have always written about that. And it's weird, but it's also, it feeds us.
Yeah,
you know?
It's interesting. Chris Jones, chief critic at the Chicago Tribune, theater critic. Let's take a quick break, come back, continue about Red Moon, but I also want to spread out to, you know, the successes and the failures of Chicago theater this year and
yeah.
what to expect from 2016.
There you go.
Stay with us. This Christmas, there we go. Blazing bright. Ella works fast. We're caroling through the night. I could do it all, man. Chris Jones in studio with
what
me.
What year was this? What year
this
was this?
19-
what year was this released?
Yeah, that's good. It was in the 70s, right? Like, it
yeah,
feels like
yeah.
Take a hand, Christmas time now. Oh, man. I wish that I need to. I'm sure they do this Christmas karaoke kind of thing.
I'm sure they do. You could probably find a bar right now.
I guess it's called karaoke.
You really wanted to
yeah,
do
right.
that.
I guess I could. Chris Jones in studio with me, chief theater critic at the Chicago Tribune, does the loop, the theater loop. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about, you know, the one thing we didn't mention about Red Moon, which is so interesting, the way that they were so instrumental and so important for neighborhoods and different locations
yes.
and kids that never saw theater. But one of the things that really hurt them and probably is why we're here today was the failure at the Chicago Fyre Festival. Was it, I guess it was the end of, was it?
Two years ago. I mean, at the end of the day, so I remember I showed up there and I'm thinking, oh, there's the governor, there's Martin Sheen, there's some guy from Chicago Fyre, there's there's Rahm floating around, you know. And I'm thinking, wow. And then I look out, oh, right, not far from where we're sitting right now, and there were tens of thousands of people, most of whom didn't know who Red Moon was, right? And I remember thinking, this had really better be good, you know. And the problem was, of course, famously, nothing really ignited. But the other problem was that Red Moon discovered that the scale of the city right here on the Michigan Avenue Bridge dwarfed the show. They didn't have a show big enough. You know,
yeah.
it's interesting, the Chi-Town Rising thing that's happening New Year's Eve, which
yeah,
everyone's
right.
a little bit
yeah.
cynical about.
Right.
You know, that at least, I think, that, you know, they're going to have the band Chicago. They've figured out. I think they've learned a little bit from the
It's
Red
interesting.
Moon
yeah, you're
Festival.
Right. The idea right. that the city of Chicago, especially down here in Michigan yeah. Avenue, is a show unto itself.
It is. And the buildings create a sense of scale that unless you've got a really big thing if you're doing it on that kind of big downtown. You know, if you look at, say, Nick Willander, there was a guy who understood scale, right? There's a guy who's like, I'm going to bring the people
tight
down, tightrope across the river. That was a night. That was a show downtown, right? Red Moon, for, you know, we're forced to compete with that to a large extent. And at the end of the day, I think the mayor was like, you know, well, didn't work this time. Let's try it again. And then I think in everybody's head, he's like, if it doesn't work the second time.
And they, so moved, they moved it out there.
They moved it out there. So, you know, hey, you know, life's full of risks.
And that, I guess, you know, the one thing I love about it, and failure aside from, you know, but was the idea that they tried. I really like their Red Moon.
They've been here for 25 years.
And, you know, they've been here forever, and everyone in the Chicago theater community knows them and has utmost respect for all the work they did. And it was awesome that they took something that was in their heart, in our hearts, as off-loop theater, off-loop theater, and brought it to Michigan Avenue.
And they, you know, Chicago's artistic community had never been that big on, let's call it, the physical end. So historically, Chicago theater has always been about the Mammoths or the Steppenwolf kind of guys in a room. They were not that at all. They were these magical, mechanical, movable devices. They were their own, they were about visual spectacle. Nobody was doing that 25 years ago here. I mean, people, are you kidding me? Nobody. You know, so they were innovators. They were, you know, I feel quite sad that they're gone. It's on the other hand, though, in this job, companies do go, right?
25 years, yeah.
That's a long run. A lot of companies go. A lot of very good companies go. Sometimes in culture and the arts, things just have a life, and it doesn't indicate some terminal disease around it. It just means that they have a finite life.
And I would assume some of those artists that were involved that did some of that magical work will show up in other places.
They
and
will.
Continue
they
to
will.
Enrich
will.
Our lives.
They will. Whatever.
But, you know, good to you, Red Moon Theater.
Yeah.
So as we before we hit the there we go. Before we hit the you know, the break coming up here in a couple minutes, let's set the table for 2015.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking on the show about everything from the Broadway shows that came in here. We had a lot of fun with the Gloria Estefan stuff that came through, but we also talked about some of the stuff that was making waves and in the off loop. When you think about 2015 as a year for theater, what comes to mind in Chicago?
Well, for me, it was a year of a lot of turmoil. I mean, typified obviously by Red Moon, also by, you know, let us not forget, send out a shout to Martha Levy, the artistic director of Steppenwolf, suffered a stroke in the first part of 2015 and has been recovering. And her absence has been this enormous, for me anyway, an enormous gap in the Chicago theater. And I'm hoping it will end in 2016 and she'll come back on the scene and she'll recover fully and that will be great. She actually was a great supporter of Red Moon. So I think Martha, you know, we just wish her a Merry Christmas and say hello.
She's a great supporter to all of us.
Yeah,
I mean, she needs to wonderful.
get back in the saddle. And I think that's something I'm really looking forward to in 2016. My best show of the year was The Projects, which was P.J. Paparelli's show, who also, he died in 2015. But that was a show about public housing in Chicago, about the history of public housing in Chicago. And the amazing thing about that show, I know this sounds simplistic, but I felt it so strongly when I was watching it, was that the takeaway from that show was that public housing here was this great thing until all the kids who were there became teenagers and overwhelmed the adults who were living there. And that may sound like a simple sort of description of the problems of public housing, but it's really not far from the truth. And that show was empowered the former residents of Cabrini Green, and it was just an amazing, you know, it was an amazing piece of theater. That was far and away for me the best show of the year, far and away.
You know, 2014, you look back and in 2014, though,
2014.
Man, there was like that string of untimely passes.
Yes.
I mean, it was like yes. Boom, 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 people in theater. But it continued a little bit in 2015. You mentioned PJ, other people. But, you know, it's interesting. The one thing that we talked about it before in 2014 and now is the resiliency, but also the fact that this community does come together.
Yeah.
In
I mean, it's a real community. And I think there is a real feeling of loss sometimes. And I think you saw that also in 2015. I think people really mourn these companies that go away. There was a company called Signal Ensemble that announced it was closing too this year. So there's been a fair number of, you know, of trials and traumas in the theater here. But it goes on. It's big enough now and it's strong enough to survive. And it was a pretty good year of work. I mean, there were some really excellent shows all the way, whether it was Billy Elliot at Drury Lane or some of the great musicals at the Paramount Theater out in Aurora, if you're listening out there. They got
Tim Rader.
Yeah, Tim Rader, man. That guy like turned that, got 30,000 subscribers out of nothing.
I've known Tim for a long time, and I wanted him to come in because I want to talk to him about that. And he's like, I don't like to go to the city.
He's like, come out to Aurora.
Yeah, I'm like, come on.
You could go on the road.
He's killing it out there. Anyway.
It was the best. He was the only guy. We were in the lobby for A Christmas Story, and he always does a little marketing thing in the lobby. And he stuck a pole in the lobby. I kid you not. And everyone is doing a selfie with their tongue on the pole.
That's great.
I watched that, and I'm like,
so gross.
Are you really going to lick that?
Really?
Right where that other tongue was?
That's what it should have said on the top. Are you really going to lick
I'm
that?
I'm like, what a person will do. In the lobby. I mean, what is it about the Fox Valley? I was like, really?
So
but
good.
I'm like, Tim Rader, that's like a million tongue selfies right there. Smart man, Justin. Smart man.
I just have this image of him with this long boardroom table. He's like, what we're going to do next is we're going to put a pole. And we're all going to lick it. And they're like,
yeah, and they're all going to, and then he says like, and they're all going to put their tongue on it. And everyone goes, no, they're
no,
not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
And he's like, you need to believe in this company.
Have an opening night.
Thing,
he's like,
opening
look,
night.
Tongue, 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 tongue.
So, you who doubted me that I could get 200 tongues on this pole? You doubted me.
You doubted me.
All right.
Christmas bonus. Christmas bonus for Tim Rader in Aurora.
Chris Jones, chief theater critic for the Chicago Tribune. We're breaking down the year in theater. When we come back, we'll talk about what to expect from 2016.
Excellent. Stay with
us. Ho, ho, ho. On Christmas Eve, I feel like I should give something to you. How about Hawks tickets at 7:20? Yep.
Picked a heck of a week to give up 2% milk off the draw.
Steve's got your stocking stuffers in the Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing Blackhawks ticket giveaway tomorrow morning on 7:20 WGN.
Nothing calls for celebration more than examining your fiscal fourth quarter earnings report and finding better than expected results. What better way to reward yourself than with a box of fine cigars from FamousSmoke.com? And now you can take advantage of an exciting Q4 offer from Famous that's guaranteed to add some additional revenue to your bottom line this holiday season. When you spend just $50 or more on your favorite cigars, FamousSmoke.com will reward you with $10 cash back. Claim your instant dividend now. Just go to FamousSmoke.com and then click the business button. It's a deal that's sure to look good on any balance sheet. Start saving on the nation's biggest selection of premium handmade cigars, humidors, and accessories by visiting FamousSmoke.com and get your $10 when you click the business button. Shop smart. Shop FamousSmoke.com. Where buying cigars makes dollars and cents.
For tips and bargains, find the Goodbye Girl on WGNPlus.com. Click on the Features tab and then the Goodbye Girl with Judy Pilak, sponsored by Goodwill.
All right, before we get to the news, let me remind you about the WGN World Famous Personalized Calendars for 2016, available now in the Featured section on WGNRadio.com. This year, Chicago was captured in black and white, presented in a special one-of-a-kind way in the 2016 2Ks calendar. It's the eighth year for the highly sought-after calendars, and this is the first year it's in all black and white. Not only does it feature Chicago landmarks as seen through the lens of our spectacular photographers, but the images are crafted with your name seamlessly blended in. You'll enjoy a view of Chicago that will change the way you look at the city forever. These black and white calendars add a whole new level of class and elegance. Give a gift that's completely 100% original. Go to WGNRadio.com, scroll down to the feature section, make a purchase of our calendar, and the portions of the proceeds benefit JDRF to make 2016 an epic year. You got to start with an epic calendar, the 2K's calendar, available in the feature section at WGNRadio.com. Oh, man, that was that's like theater right there.
Can you really present a calendar in a unique way?
And I think it's unique. There's no way, wait. There's unique.
It means like you've not got January, you just start with February. It's a unique way.
We flipped them.
It's black and white. Did you mention the word black and white?
I mentioned it. It's highly sought after, and it's black and white, and it's unique.
But your name is on interesting Chicago landmarks.
How does that work?
So each month you see your name on the Bean, on Willis Tower. Lakeshore Drive? What's wrong with you? This is a unique calendar. Stop it.
There you go. Martyr's got the pitch down.
All right.
That's kidding me?
I mean, we've been reading this for...
I've got 10 of these things. That's fantastic.
Not all the WGN hosts wait for it to kick in, you know, the track. Like, I know this track pretty well, and I'm waiting for the, like, the part where it kicks in. It should be right here, but there's a lot of editing that's been done. Ready? Here we go.
One, two, three.
Chris Jones in studio with me here on The Download.
Justin, is this the last Download segment of
2016?
This is. Oh, I'm honored to be part of it. What a moment.
I only saved the I only saved the best for last.
What
that's
a
right,
moment!
Right.
It's almost the end of the year in The Download.
For The Download, there will be some shows. We have a special we're running on Christmas, which we taped ahead of time, which was very nice. We talk with.
Do you admit that it's taped, or do you pretend?
Do you go
good morning?
I don't.
It's
yeah,
Christmas
exactly.
Morning.
Oh, so cold, so snowy, so cold. No, I don't think any of that. But the because I think it airs in two different spots. But the. What we did is we talked to Peter Gwynn and Matt Hovde.
Oh, big talents.
Yeah.
Big
and
talents.
And then Mitchell Fain.
Oh, I loved it. The Sandaland Diaries.
Yeah.
How many
years? You've
been doing that
this
for like...
Eight or 9 years for him, 12 for the show, Jeremy's show at Theater Wit.
I remember back in the day when David Cromer used
to
do that.
That's right.
That
he talks about it. But it's interesting. It's interesting because, it's those kind of performances, Mitchell's performance, and that makes Chicago theater stand out.
Exactly.
I mean, he talks about sort of he can't walk through, you know, different areas. Andersonville, he lives in Andersonville. He says he walks a couple blocks. Everyone's always like, "Hey, I saw you, hey, hey!" But it's just like those kind of performances really endear me to the Chicago theater scene.
You got it exactly.
So let's talk about 2016. Because
okay, one word: Hamilton, Hamilton, Hamilton. So if you're Chris Jones. Every day, somebody mentions tickets. Every day. They
for
go,
the
can
ones
you get
here in Chicago?
Well, here, yeah, the New York. Every day. They
God,
go.
What is it? What is it about the show that makes it so much more desirable than every other theater show in the world?
That may sound like a simple question on the final segment of The Download of 2000, but in fact, that's a very difficult question because it's very difficult. And it's you know, if you could guarantee it, they'd hit it every time, right? My theory on it is that it's a hip-hop musical, but it's traditional enough that it works as a musical. And here's the big thing, drum roll please, the big thing is that it's about something of substance. Most of the previous big hits have been South Park, you know, Book of Mormon, escapist entertainment, fantasy, Wicked. This is one that all the media especially can get around because it's about American history, about the Secretary of the Treasury. It's highly, you know, it's the sort of thing one foundation's getting kids free tickets to see it. That's not going to happen in Book of Mormon. It's educational. So all of these things have combined. And then here's the other great thing is Chicago's getting it.
Chicago's getting it. How does that happen? I mean, how does it happen that this far? I know tours and things like that, but is there a huge, you know, negotiation?
This is a what they call in the business a big get, right? A big get. I mean, the thing about it is it has clearance, Justin. And what I mean by that is that you're not going to be able to see it in Indianapolis or in Milwaukee or even in Atlanta. It's going to be New York and it's going to be Chicago. And that's it for 2016. That's it. And then in 2017, I think it will open in London, and probably there'll be a company in LA and San Francisco.
Like 2024, it'll be like The Lion King.
Yeah, it'll be in Aurora. They'll be they'll be licking the Hamilton pole in Aurora. So that's what'll happen in 2000.
You can improvise. You can freestyle in the lobby.
And they'll,
Tim Raider's like freestyle.
They'll
in the
all
lobby.
Be there clutching their unique calendars. They'll be there with their unique.
Bring it all back
together. Maybe they'll be color by then. Seriously, I don't know, Justin.
Is it the same production that comes to Chicago?
Yes.
So the same actors, same that kind of stuff?
So my theory on this, you know, I've seen the show in New York, obviously. Lin-Manuel Miranda is a fantastic genius. You do not need to see him in the show. He's fine. But there are many actors who are every bit as good, if not better. So there's no problem with him not being in it, and he won't be in it here. So I have every expectation it will be every bit as good and maybe better. My, you know, the second production sometimes is a little better because they know what they're doing a bit better. And it's going to be the full Monty. It's going to be the full preset. They're going to do a... The sound is going to be tuned to that space because it's going to be here for 18 months, maybe more. I think my bet on what it's going to be here is about 18 months. And no, you will not be able to get cheap tickets because it will sell out. It's... That show is more in the popular zeitgeist than any show, at least since Chorus Line. And I think it's bigger than Chorus Line.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. I mean, this it is unbelievable. I mean, people typically are paying in New York $400 to $500. And I don't mean going through a scalper or a rich person. I mean, if you want to see it in an okay seat, you're dropping a lot of cash.
Do you think that the demand will be there in Chicago?
I do, and they'll clear out if it's not, because the other dirty secret is there can't be an open ticket in Chicago that hurts their ability in New York to charge the top dollar. So the moment that goes away, they'll go. You know, so that's the game that gets played. You know, theater now at this level is very expensive, and the money isn't so much in selling seats, in how much you are selling the seats for. And so that's a sort of key part of it. But everyone sort of says, is it really that good? And I go, yeah. I mean, I thought it was great. I see a lot of shows, so I'm rarely blown away by a show because I do it every night, so it's not something wildly special for me. But I recognize it is an excellent, excellent piece of
Well,
film.
What else? I mean, what else will be coming in 2016 we should keep our eye on? When
well,
we
there's a new play
Hamilton.
By Tracy Letts. That's the
oh,
other.
Hey.
I mean, directed by Anna Shapiro. It's a play about a – it's in the spring, early summer, and it's about – a woman. I haven't read it, obviously. I'm sure it's not even finished yet. But it's about a woman who is played by different actresses at different stages of her life. And the lead actress is Carrie Coon, who's very well known from movies and TV shows now, and is a superb Chicago stage actress as well. So that'll be a very, very... That's probably the highest profile thing. Good old Bob,
that's a Steppenwolf.
That's a Steppenwolf. Yeah. And good old Robert Falls is doing this 2066. you know... A very complex adaptation of the Chilean novelist's work, and that is going to be 5 hours long. 5 hours.
Five hours.
Almost as long as a download segment.
No, a download show. That's crazy. Oh, man.
We have news.
News, weather, and traffic.
Oh, you
right?
do?
Going to do news,
you
weather,
do.
And traffic?
And you have unique calendars. When you get bored,
we have bump in. We have a lot of things we can do here to mess with people. 5 hours. Well,
five hours.
That seems to be the trend. I mean, and more you're seeing more this right. longer version theater.
Well, people, if they're making the effort, they want to see something big. It seems like the middle brow is what's gone away. You've got the people love us 90 minutes in the bar by 10, as they say in England. You know, how was it in the bar by 10? Do you have a good night tonight? Yeah, it was all right in the bar by
in
10.
So those are the big shows. I mean, obviously Goodman, Steppenwolf, yeah. and what we'll see downtown and Broadway in Chicago with Hamilton. What I mean, do we have any idea of what 2016 will bring on the Off Loop Theater stage?
Well, you know, there's a lot of interesting new stuff that's likely to pop up. I think there's going to be some cool stuff at Victory Gardens. I like their season. They've got a couple of excellent new plays. Good old American Theater Company has a new play by Dan LaFranc that's opening the year as the guy that did
how
the
does,
big meal.
How excellent does it work in terms of – because we already know what this – like the season still goes from, what, fall to spring?
Mostly. Some theaters go by calendar year these days, and some – there's a variety.
When did they – for the fall to spring variety, when do they announce next year's? Would that be
March, April, yeah. usually March, April. Although some of the smaller theaters decide like tomorrow. They're like – they'll announce – you had a press release on September the 15th, beginning September the 20th, the 2015-16 season. Because they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And they don't have any money to pay for it yet. So they're like, wait, we're going to wait until we raise the money, then we're going to announce the season.
Well,
and sometimes those shows turn out to be great.
It's fun because, this year, 2015, saw big people come through town. And then I think in 2016, we're going to see some Broadway stars you mentioned at Steppenwolf, but also at the Goodman.
Well, there's this other show at the Goodman, War Paint, which is a show about, this is a fascinating topic. Just listen to this topic, which is about the wars between the cosmetic heiresses, and it's going to star Christine Ebersole and Patti LuPone. And so there's a bit of a meta thing going on because, it's like the whole Hannah Rubinstein thing as divas. So that's a bit of a sort of a strange show. It is technically a Goodman Theater show, But it's not really. It's really a pre-Broadway tryout for a Broadway show. And if that's any good, that will be on Broadway next season. And believe me, Miss Patti LuPone is not here for the good, just for the Goodman. Trust me. So that's another high-profile thing, which the Goodman is, of course, using to sell subscriptions. And good for them. Why not? But that will be another big, big production. But these are new. I mean, the thing for Hamilton is it's a proven thing.
Right.
If you want a proven thing, you go to Hamilton. If you want to catch the next thing, you know, maybe you would do War Paint. Or still to come this year, Gotta Dance, opening Monday. Yes, indeed. Monday.
Oh, really?
That's why I'm sitting here, not on vacation. So Gotta Dance, which is this show about the hip-hop basketball team, you know what I'm talking about? So the New Jersey Nets came up with this idea of having a senior citizen hip-hop basketball team.
Yes.
And they all came out and did hip-hop and very funny. And Dori Berenstein sent a camera down there and made it into a documentary called Gotta Dance. And that's been turned into a musical, which is trying out here. It's in previews now. If anybody's seen it, they should call you.
So it's in previews now here, but it's a pre-Broadway tryout.
It's pre-Broadway, and I'm going to see it on Monday. It is going to be on Broadway next year. I no idea what it is like. It has been radio silence from my readers, so I don't know. I really don't know. But it's only just, you know, these shows, nobody knows what they are, because they have no... but that's what I
we should do a segment in 2016 just about the fun ways that shows manipulate the media or keep that radio silence. It's like many ways that, you know, so many little tricks of the trade, right?
So, and it was like, you know, it was funny because Lin-Manuel Miranda tweeted this, you know, the Hamilton story, the announcement. He's like, hey, Chicago. I imagine his voice in the tweet. It's like, hey, Chicago, got something for you. It's like five words. And then it's like a billion people read it. And it's like, hey, Chicago.
Hey, Chicago.
Got something for you.
Chris Jones.
Oh, the final segment.
The final segment is over. What an honor. Chief theater critic for the Chicago Tribune. Have a great holiday. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Justin. It's an honor to be on your show.
And it's an honor to have you, and we'll see you in January.
All right, man.